All right. Well, good morning. It is good to be together. I want us, as we did last week, to head back to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy is not just for Mother's Day, right? I think that should be on a t-shirt. Deuteronomy, it's not just for Mother's Day. The gift that keeps giving. Again, as many, if not all of you, are aware, working our way through the Jesus backstory, the Torah, the first five books of our Bibles. And today we come to Parsha Akev. Parsha Akev picks up at 7 and 12 and runs through 11 and 25. If you are grabbing a pew Bible, page 131 will be helpful. The words will be on the screen behind me. And so let's work our way through and see what it has for us, and then I'll throw out a few questions for us to take into the week. Deuteronomy 7, verse 12, it says, we read, Vehaya, which translates, and it shall come to pass. Vehaya Akev, it shall come to pass. And then we get Akev, the name of our Parsha, translates as a result or because. And so we get, and it shall come to pass as a result because, Tishmeun, you hear, you listen, you pay attention to, et hamishpatim ha'ele, to these laws. You hear, you listen, you pay attention to these laws, ushimartem vasitem otam, and keep them and do them, veshamar adonai eloheha leha, then the Lord your God will keep with you, et ha'berit, his covenant of love. And it shall come to pass as a result, because, right, you hear, you listen, you pay attention to these laws and keep them and do them, then the Lord your God will keep with you his covenant of love. And we can think back to last week, right, from Ahava, from the Hebrew agape, love in the Greek, right? What is the central declaration of Jesus? Right? The famous words from the Shema, right? Love the Lord your God with all of the you that is you, and love your neighbor as yourself, right? Loving God and loving others equally in the same way, not different, right? In agreement, interchangeable with. Keeping in mind, it is this covenant of love that now flows into Parsha Akev. And most notably, for today, in the way of or in the form of gratitude. Noting that all through Parsha Akev, Moses is calling the Israelites, and consequently you and me, to remember. From 8 and 12, it says, we read, when you have eaten and been satisfied and have built fine houses and lived in them, when you're herds and flocks have grown abundant, and your silver and gold has multiplied, and all you have has multiplied, your heart may become proud, forgetting the Lord your God, forgetting, right, not remembering, forgetting the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Verse 17, you might be tempted to say to yourself, my power, my strength, my own hand have brought me this great wealth. But, he says, remember. What is this idea of remembering, to bring to remembrance? It's this idea of mindfulness, to be mindful of. It also has this piece to it of making known, to make known. Vezahartah, right, the Lord your God. Remember, be mindful, make known. Vezahartah, the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you. It is He who gives you the power to do great things, upholding the covenant, and we could say here the covenant of love that He swore to your ancestors. Right, Moses says, Vezahartah, right, to remember, to be mindful. And he says to make known. What is all gathered up then into what is this idea of, this concept of Hakarat Hatov, Hakarat Hatov. It often gets translated as gratitude, but it's really so much more than gratitude. It's this idea of thankfulness and appreciation, of deep appreciation, even for that which for which we take for granted. It's recognizing, right, the good. It's noticing the good. It's gratitude, and yet it's so much more. Moses was constantly having to deal with this. As Rabbi Jonathan Sacks puts it, Hakarat HaTov is at the heart of what Moses has to say about the Israelites and their future in the promised land. And we can think back, and you don't have to, it was over a year ago, but Parsha B'Shalach, which was Exodus 15, it's there that we read the Israelites are constantly complaining. Over and over again, they're complaining. Right? They're complaining about the journey. They're complaining about their living conditions, their living situation. They're complaining about their circumstances, right? Again and again, over and over. What is exactly not Hakarat HaTov? What is exactly not gratitude? What is exactly not recognizing the good? Gratitude, says Rabbi Sacks, had not been their strong point in the desert. The worst thing that could happen to them would be that they forgot. Which is why then Moses presses this home, right, over and over again, telling them, remember, right, remember, be mindful of, right, and make known. Hakarat HaTov, right, recognizing, noticing the good that is all around. What is a concept? Absolutely, but even more than that, it is a practice. It's a practice that flows in and all through ancient Jewish life. We find it in the what is called the Moda Ani, what is the first prayer that a devout Jewish person will say. They say it before even getting out of bed in the morning. Upon first awakening, Moda Ani translates, I thank you. Literally, it would be thank you, I, but it's this idea of I thank you, right? Recognizing the good. It flows from the Moda Ani to the Berkot HaShahar, what are called the dawn blessings, what is a litany of gratitude, a litany of thankfulness. The rabbis tell us, including for our sight, for our clothing, for our ability to stand up straight, for the feeling of being refreshed after a good night's sleep, literally for everything, Berkot HaShahar, right? It's this idea, this litany of thankfulness, not to mention the Amidah. The Amidah, if you remember, we looked at back in 2001. It's interesting, as Rabbi Sacks notes, when the leader of prayer repeats the Amidah aloud, we are usually silent. This is speaking of when they're in the synagogue and you have a leader and they're sharing the Amidah together. When the leader of prayer repeats the Amidah aloud, we are usually silent, with one exception. When the leader says, Modim Anaknu Lach, which translates, we give thanks. We give thanks to you. The congregation says a parallel message known as Modim Derabanan. For every other blessing of the Amidah, it is enough to just simply basically assent to the words of blessing by saying Amen. The one exception is Modim, giving thanks. We cannot delegate this to someone else. Thanks must come directly from us. Noting it is that concept of Hakarat HaTov, that idea, that practice, that recognizing the good, that noticing the good, that then flows into the very life and teachings of Jesus from Matthew 15:36, right? Hakarat HaTov, gratitude, recognizing the good as he gives thanks for the bread and the fish. John 11:41, at the tomb of Lazarus, they took away the stone. Jesus looks up, Father, Hakarat HaTov, that you have heard me. Luke 22:17, Jesus now with his disciples, we read he takes the cup and he takes the bread, right? Hakarat HaTov. Gratitude, recognizing the good. Not only does Hakarat HaTov flow down to Jesus, it then flows down to his disciples. 1 Peter 1:3, we read, let us, Hakarat HaTov, right? Recognizing the good to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We see it expressed in Paul's letter to the Colossians, to followers of Jesus, 3:15. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, and we can think here that idea of one body, right? Loving God, loving others equally in the same way, not different, in agreement, interchangeable with. One body, you were all called to peace. And it says, be hakarat hatov, right? And be recognizing the good. And then with that, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, right? Everything you say, everything you do, do it all, it says, in the name of the Lord Jesus, right? Hakarat hatov, recognizing the good. From Paul to Jesus' followers in Thessalonica, 1 Thessalonians 5 and 16, it says, rejoice always, pray continually, and hakarat hatov, right? Give thanks, recognizing the good in, he says, everything, in everything. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. There was a study, it was back in 2001 when the Journal of Social Psychology published this study. It's kind of fascinating. They actually began the study in, I think it was the early 90s. It involved 700 nuns that had entered into the convent. These nuns were aged anywhere between, I think, 75 and about 102. When these nuns first entered into the convent, which takes us all the way back to the 1930s. So in the 1930s, they had, Mother Superior had asked them, as they entered into the convent, to write an account of their life up until that point, and their reason for then entering into the convent. And because now, 60, 70 years later, these nuns had all largely led the same sort of life together, the researchers were able to devise a coding system and test the relationship really between positivity and positive attitude, our emotional attitudes, and our health. It was kind of a seminal sort of study in the whole sort of field of gratitude. It's rather fascinating. And what they found, and it included, you know, aging, your health with aging, Alzheimer's, it was quite a study. And they found this correlation, right, between one's positivity and we can think here, hakarat hato, right? Recognizing the good and the length and the quality of one's life. Their health, their physical health, their emotional health. That there was this deep connection. And since then, there's been a lot of gratitude studies and how naming, recognizing the good, right? Naming our gratitude, our thankfulness, right? How it impacts us, our sleep, our physical health, our emotional health, our mental health, our relationships, our longevity. It's interesting because it's something that here Moses understood centuries before, right? When he said, remember, right? Veza harta, right? Remember, be mindful, right? And make known, hakarat hatov, right? Recognizing the good, noticing the good, as Paul says, in everything. Which is really very much an invitation toward intentionality. Right? There is really nothing passive about this ancient practice. It's not like we go along with our day and voila, right? Gratitude. That's not probably the norm for us. I don't think it's ever been really the norm. But it's interesting that with that, then it requires intention. And it's also interesting that in Judaism, there is an ancient Jewish tradition still passed on today that you are both an attitude and it's kind of a requirement for you to say 100, to name 100 things for which you are grateful, 100 things each day. You know, we talk about doing a gratitude list. I always think about 5 or 10 things, you know, or write 3 things you're grateful for. Well, the ancient practice in Judaism is 100. It's interesting that 100 comes because modim, the word for thanks, the numeric value of modim is 100. And so children are taught this from a very early age. And so what if we were to join maybe in that kind of a practice? Right? To you know, when I woke up this morning and, you know, thank you, God, that, you know, for my first breath. Thank you for my waking breath. Thank you for the warm blankets that are, or the blankets that are keeping me warm. Thank you for the fresh air that I'm receiving. Thank you for that I can see. Thank you for the warm shower. Thank you for the towel that dries me. Thank you for the soap that I can wash my hands. Thank you for the car that gets me here. What was that? 7, 8, 9, 10? 100? We could do that. Hakarat Hatov. Recognizing the good, Paul says, in everything. There's an ancient kind of Jewish story. There's a number of different renditions of this story. This particular one, it's a farmer. He lives in a small house, small piece of land in the outskirts of a small village. One day, the farmer goes to the local rabbi complaining that his house is too small and he cannot stand all the noise. His kids screaming and his wife is clinking and clanging all the pots all day long. And so he goes to this rabbi, and the rabbi simply instructs the farmer then to return home and let all the chickens inside the hut. And so the farmer, a bit confused, but he goes home, he lets the chickens into the hut for the night. And the next morning he goes back to the rabbi and says how much worse it was. The rabbi again listens intently and tells him to go back home and let all the goats in the small hut. And so he goes back home and lets all the goats in the small hut. And again, he comes back and reports that it's now totally unbearable, to which the rabbi instructs him now to go home and let all the chickens and goats out of your house. And so he does. And the next day, the farmer shows up to the rabbi and shares with the rabbi just how thankful he is. Right, recognizing the good, noticing the good. Hakarat Hatov. What is again an invitation toward intentionality. This doesn't just happen. In a word, it requires discipline, right? As the author and theologian Henry Nouwen puts it, gratitude as a discipline involves a conscious choice. It is amazing how many occasions present themselves in which I can choose gratitude instead of a complaint. In the past, I thought of gratitude as a spontaneous response to the awareness of gifts received, but now I realize that gratitude can also be lived as a discipline. The discipline of gratitude is the explicit effort to acknowledge, right? And we can think here, Zahartha, right? To remember, to be mindful, to make known that all I am and have is given to me as a gift of love. Right? Recognizing the good, noticing the good. Hakarat Hatov. Which leads me, and no surprise, right? Leads me to ask, do we practice this ancient way of Hakarat Hatov? Do we practice this way of gratitude? In other words, do I spend each day actively recognizing the good? Do I spend each day, do I spend each hour, do I spend each moment actively recognizing the good that is all around me? Do I daily remember and make known my gratitude? Right? Do I daily remember and make known my gratitude? And then maybe to get a little deeper and into that, we could consider, do I pursue and show my appreciation in everything? You know, Paul said, Hakarat Hatov, in everything. Do I pursue and show my appreciation in everything? How might I turn my complaints into offerings of thankfulness? In some ways, it's kind of a perpetual, the glass is half full sort of attitude. I was reading some of the materials around this, and you know, one person described they couldn't find their car keys, but it reminded them that they had a car to drive. You know, somebody got a flat tire, but it made them realize how much they appreciated being able to get to work each day. And now with the flat tire, it made them appreciate being able to call a mechanic. It made them appreciate having friends that they could call on to get a ride. And if they didn't have friends to call to get a ride, they were thankful then that there was a bus service and they could take a bus. And if they didn't have a bus service and couldn't take a bus, they were thankful that they had two legs and they could walk. And if they didn't have two legs and could walk, they were thankful they had a phone and could cancel the appointment. How might I turn my complaints into offerings of thankfulness? And then with that, to kind of close here, to wrap up, what would it look like to live the discipline of Hakarat HaTov more fully? What would that look like for each one of us? And maybe that looks like 100 modim. Maybe that looks like that. And I don't know. I'm willing to throw out the challenge to each one of us. You know, because on one hand, I go, that sounds like a whole lot. But on the other hand, right? And so I want to challenge us this week. Let's try that. If you're up for it, you can come back next week and share how it went. It's kind of saturating ourselves in that attitude, recognizing the good, looking for and recognizing, noticing the good. What would it look like to practice Hakarat HaTov more fully? Let's sit for a little bit in stillness together. Vehaya Ekev, and it shall come to pass as a result.